There is a fifth dimension beyond that which is known to man. It is a dimension as vast as space and as timeless as infinity. It is the middle ground between light and shadow, between science and superstition, and it lies between the pit of man's fears and the summit of his knowledge. This is the dimension of imagination. It is an area which we call the Twilight Zone.
Sign in a storefront window. Southeast Loan Company. In a dark room, a man lies motionless on the floor, while another man collects the contents of trays and small boxes into a paper bag.
Portrait of a man at work. The only work he's ever done. The only work he knows. His name is Henry Francis Valentine, but he calls himself Rocky, because that's the way his life has been. Rocky and perilous and uphill at a dead run all the way. He's tired now. Tired of running or wanting, of waiting for the breaks that come to others but never to him. Never to Rocky Valentine.
He takes off one of his gloves and tries on a ring from a shelf. He turns off his flashlight, puts his glove back on, grabs the paper bag, and runs. He hurdles over the counter. Outside, a police car speeds down the street. Rocky drops the paper bag on the sidewalk and keeps running. He runs into an alley. The police car stops and two officers get out. Rocky hides behind a wooden crate. One of the officers runs into the alley, shines a flashlight, and sees Rocky climbing up over a fence. Rocky shoots back. Rocky falls from the fence.
A scared, angry little man. He thinks it's all over now, but he's wrong. For Rocky Valentine, it's just the beginning.
Rocky lies on the ground. He sees a pair of men's shoes approaching.
Mr. Valentine.
Rocky turns his head. Looks up at...
Who are you?
A portly, bearded man.
My name is Pip.
Wearing a white suit.
Can I help you?
How do you know my name?
It's my job to know everything about you.
You a cop?
No. I'm your guide, as it were.
Guide, huh? I need like a hole in the head.
Pip helps him to his feet, but then Rocky slumps over against a brick wall.
What happened?
You had a slight accident. Oh, but don't worry. You'll be as fit as a new fiddle soon. Now, I'm sure you'd like to change out of those rumpled clothes, eh, Mr. Valentine?
All right, hold it a minute. I want to know how you know my name.
But I've already told you. You
told me nothing. Let me clue you, fatso. I don't like games.
Oh, taking out a notepad.
That is true, Mr. Valentine. Why, you like roulette, blackjack, poker, craps, and between the ages of 7 and 10, you were quite fond of mumbledy peg.
Rocky grabs the notepad.
What are you after, anyway?
Only one thing, Mr. Valentine. Your comfort. My job is to see to it that you get what you want, whatever it may be.
Yeah? In exchange for what?
Nothing at all, Mr. Valentine. It's absolutely free.
Don't put me on, fatso. Nothing's free. Nothing. Anything I ever got in this lousy world, I had to drag out of it. So don't put me on. Now, what's the pitch? You want me to do a job for you, right?
I'm afraid you don't understand.
No? All right, let's see. All right, give me your wallet, crack. Come on.
Shoving a gun in Pip's stomach.
Don't have a wallet.
Come on, Santa Claus.
No, honestly. Wait, Mr. Valentine. Really, it isn't a wallet you want, is it? No. It's money.
Taking out some cash.
$300, $500, $700.
Will that be enough for now, sir?
Got more?
Oh, give me, yes, as much as you want. Now, shall we?
Starting to walk off.
Hey, Fats.
He turns back. Rocky points the gun at him. He prods Pip in the back and then follows him.
I don't try anything funny. Hmm?
They enter a large, lavishly furnished living room.
You like it?
Yeah. Yeah, some pad, all right. Who's it belong to? Some phony politician?
Why, it belongs to you, Mr. Valentine.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that is, if you approve.
Rocky looks at the wall above the fireplace and studies a painting of a scantily clad woman.
Yeah, I approve.
Good. Well, of course, we can make any changes you wish.
No.
Well, you see, I wasn't too sure about the high fire right over there, but...
You mean all this gets thrown into the deal?
No, it's already in the deal, as you call it, Mr. Valentine. Look here.
They head into the entrance hall, where a plaque on the wall displays Valentine's name in cursive writing.
You see? Ah.
Pip hands him a key and smiles. They return to the living room.
That is the master bedroom.
Rocky dashes across and into the large bedroom.
After you.
At the far end of which, a king-size bed sits in an alcove lined with ruffled drapes. Rocky steps up and into the alcove, pokes at the mattress, sits down on the bed, bounces. Pip walks over to the bathroom.
The bathroom's in there. I'm sure you'd like a change of clothing and freshen up a bit, hmm?
Yeah.
Lashing a broad smile.
Yeah, sure.
Rocky heads toward the bathroom, then turns and pushes at Pip with the gun.
Well, first of all, what's a pitch? Come on, the pitch, the catch, the gimmick. What do I got to do for all this?
Nothing. I can't tell you more than I have, honestly.
Oh, I get it. You're just a goon, huh? You work for somebody else, right?
In a way, yes.
All right, when do I meet him?
Who?
The big boy, your boss.
Oh, I really couldn't say.
All right, goon. I can wait.
Rocky strolls about and sits down in an upholstered armchair and crosses his legs. Pip nods and tilts his head and gets up. Rocky draws his gun. Pip points at the clothes in the closet.
Any particular color or style, sir?
Nah, you pick it.
Oh, I could hardly presume to do that. However, bearing in mind that you favor a nice check, I thought perhaps...
He shows him a checkered jacket and two-tone white-on-black shoes.
Yeah, that'll do.
Lifting his leg onto the armrest.
Well, now we have quite a wide selection of ties here, and I believe that yellow is your favorite color.
Carrying a tie over to Rocky.
What's the matter with you? You got no taste?
Going over to the tie rack, taking a yellow tie with a vertical patterned stripe.
Now that's a tie, see?
Later...
Hey!
Modeling his new outfit.
It fits.
Going to the mirror.
Of course. Impressive, sir.
Yeah, well, I'll say this. Your guy knows clothes.
Going back into the living room.
Mr. Valentine?
Pointing to the dining
Where
table.
Where did that come from?
Well, I thought you might be a little hungry, so I just ordered up something for you.
Rocky sits at the table, tucks his napkin under his neck. Pip fills Rocky's plate from a serving tray, and Rocky immediately starts to dig in.
You eat it.
But I don't eat. I haven't eaten in... it must be 2 or 3 centuries.
Anything wrong with it?
No.
Then eat it.
I can't. I've forgotten how.
I get it. Give a guy some new clothes and a bath and then poison him, huh? Pretty smart, Fatso, but not smart enough.
He shoots at Pip.
A bulletproof vest, huh? Well, let's see how your head holds up.
Mr. Valentine, please.
I couldn't have missed, not at this range. Maybe...
He aims at a table lamp. Faces Pip with a befuddled look, slowly steps over and past Pip, backs into a chair. He takes a drink.
Wait a minute. Where did this come from? This wasn't here before. What's going on here? Where am I?
Mr. Valentine, do you remember when we met earlier today? I told you I was, in a sense, your guide, and you said you needed a guide like a hole in the head.
Yeah?
Well, as a matter of strict fact, you had a hole in the head only a short time before. A bullet hole.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's right. The cops, they...
His face hardens, and he glares at Pip.
Well, then I must be dead.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if I'm dead, then all of this, the joint, the clothes, the booze, then I must be in heaven.
Extending his arm?
Yeah, that's it.
And smiling
that's
broadly?
That's it, I'm in heaven, right? And you're my guardian angel, something like that?
Oh, something like that, yes.
Anything
it's about
that. I want, eh?
Anything.
Yeah, big talk, fatso, big talk. I want to see an election now. Right now, I want $1 million in 5G notes. And a chick that won't quit. I mean, like stacked, like beautiful.
Gesturing to an even more scantily clad painting.
Well,
as for the million, look in that drawer.
Rocky goes over to a side table, slides open the drawer.
$1 million!
Tossing them in the air. They both laugh. As the 5G notes rain down like confetti. Pip nods his head towards the stereo, which opens, and a record falls onto the turntable. Then a blonde woman comes in wearing a low-cut gown. She dances to the music.
Now I know I'm in heaven.
Will there be anything else, sir?
Yeah, there will be, Fats. There will be. Just stick around. Hiya, doll.
He approaches her and tries to dance with her. He swings her in a circle. In a high-ceilinged room with chandeliers, a dozen people surround a table.
Place your bets, ladies and gentlemen. Place your bets.
Rocky smokes a cigar and
no more bets,
leans
please.
Toward a roulette wheel.
33 black.
Hey, how about that? I win again. Hey, Fats, come here. Come here, put your money on the table, Fats. Right there, number 14 red. Rocky is hot tonight, am I right, dolls?
I'm afraid I don't have any money, sir.
You don't have any money? Gee, what do they pay you, in halos or something? Come on.
Place your bets, ladies and gentlemen. Place your bets.
Rocky moves more chips onto the table.
No more bets, ladies and gentlemen. No more bets. 14 red.
He kisses each of the nearby women.
What makes what? What, huh? 40 grand in an hour.
Taking a white handbag from the woman.
Is Rocky hot or is Rocky hot?
No,
and
Rocky's
fills
not.
The bag with chips.
In for the old goat, baby. And I tell you, I'm going to buy and sell this joint. Here, go get it. Hey, baby. There's 40 grand in there and I count real good. You know what I mean? All right. I got this table spook. Let's go see what's shaking with the cubes, huh?
Grabs his drink and
bets,
heads away from the roulette table.
Here, baby, you'll give me some juice.
Handing her his glass. He walks up to a slot machine. Pulls the lever. Takes off his hat to collect the eruption of coins.
Sweetheart, go buy yourself a dress for free. Present from Rocky, huh?
Handing her his hat. Later, addressing a bellhop.
Hitch car, sir?
Yeah, it's a big converter. Be careful of it, will you, kid?
Yes, sir.
The three women follow him out. A police officer strolls by, twirling his baton.
Something bothering you, Mr. Valentine?
Yeah, him. Lousy screw. Thinks he's king of the hill just because he got a couple of inches on me.
Oh, dear, that was indiscreet of me.
The police officer.
Better?
Now.
Yeah.
A couple of feet shorter than Rocky.
Hey, Screw. Come here.
Walks back.
Yes, you sir? Got your hat on, crooked trooper.
Pushing him aside. The bellhop drives up in a huge convertible.
Yeah. Ready, sir.
All right. Come on, get in, girls.
The women climb in the back seat as Pip rides shotgun alongside Rocky.
Here you are, kid. Keep the change. All right, now, let's open this baby up and see what she can do.
The smiling bellhop stuffs the cash into his pocket. Later, Rocky enters his apartment.
All right, girls, here we go, here we go. Into the cracker box. 1, 2, 3. It's magic time. Hey, Fats, I want you to get rid of that heap I've been driving.
Well, it certainly goes fast enough. Is something wrong?
Yeah, the ashtrays are full. Hey, girls, would you wait in here for a minute? I want to talk to Fats for a minute, all right?
In we go. Yeah.
He closes the bedroom door behind them.
Hey, Fats, how about tomorrow we look up some of my old buddies, huh? Like Matt Gorman, the Fink Mitchell, Silky Armstrong, huh?
Pip shakes his head.
What's the matter? They didn't make it?
No, it's not that, Mr. Valentine. It's... Well, it's rather difficult to explain, really. You see, all of this, it's a... Well, it's your own private domain. It was made, well, especially for you alone.
Oh, well, what about them? You mean they're props, like in a movie?
In a sense, yes. Everything here is, except, of course, you and me.
Oh. Look, sit down for a minute, Fats. I want to ask you something. It's been kind of bugging me anyway. I mean, how come they let me in here, huh? I thought this was only for, like, school teachers and like that.
Oh, we have some school teachers here.
Hmm. Well, it must have been something real good I'd done sometime. Something that made up for everything else, huh? Yeah, that's it. But what? See, when did I ever do anything good? Well, listen. How do I find out about this, huh?
Well, we have a hall of records here. Would you like me to take you there?
Was it open at this hour? I mean, it's almost light.
Oh, it's always open.
Well, all right. Let's go.
Putting on his hat.
Hey, dolls. Dog away, will you? I'll be right back. I just want to get something cleared up with Fats. Well, come on, let's go.
They go up to an imposing marble edifice engraved with the words, Hall of Records. They climb up a long flight of open-air stairs, at the top of which stands a row of filing cabinets. Pip opens up one of the V drawers, flips through the contents, pulls out a manila folder, hands it to Rocky.
Henry Francis Valentine. Born 1923, Brooklyn, New York. Age of 6, slaughtered small dog. Well, why not? He bit me. Age of 7, stole 14 toys from dime store. Age of 8, organized street gang, the Angels. How about that, huh? That's what we call ourselves, the Angels. Yeah, it's a great little bunch. Age of 9, broke in the bicycle store. What is this, anyway?
Your record.
Rocky hands it back.
Well, you don't think it'd be some mistake, do you?
Not likely.
I can't figure it. But if it don't bother him, I ain't gonna let it bother me, you know
Climbing
what I mean?
Down the
what
stairs.
What do you do now, Mr. Valentine?
I don't know. Fool around with the dolls? Shoot some more craps, maybe? I don't know.
Well, if you need me for anything, Mr. Valentine, just dial P-I-P.
Yeah.
Pip goes back to the filing cabinet and disappears. Later, at the roulette table.
13 black, ladies and gentlemen. 13.
Rocky nods his head to his female entourage and gets up from the table.
What about your chips, sir?
Nail them to me.
Frowning, he walks through the casino with the ladies over to the slot machine, pulls the lever, waves it off, and walks away as the coins spill out onto the floor. Back at home in bed.
What do you got?
With his cash and his ladies.
Straight flush.
Royal flush.
You win again, Mr. Valentine.
Yeah, I know. That's all I ever do in this nutty joint is win, win, win.
Jumping out of the bed.
Is there anything else I can do for you?
Smiling.
Yeah, get out of here, will you? I'm sick of looking at you. Come on, out, out. You too.
Grabbing
come
her
on,
by
out,
the elbow.
Out, out, let's go. Come on, come on, come on. Come on, get out of here.
The ladies scurry out across the living room.
Come on, come on, keep moving, step it up. Come on, come on.
Out of the apartment.
Dumb broads. Who needs them?
Rocky paces across the living room, looks around, heads over to the dining table, takes an apple, turns around. The dining table transforms into a pool table.
Hey!
He puts the apple down, picks up the cue stick, takes his break shot, and sinks all 15 balls. He snaps the cue stick over his leg and tosses it into the living room. He heads toward the phone, whose dial is pre-labeled for him to dial P-I-P.
Yes, Mr. Valentine, what can I do for you?
Will you stop creeping around?
Anything you say, sir.
Anything I say. Knock it off, will you?
Why, something wrong?
No, nothing's wrong. Everything is just peachy.
Kicking over an ottoman.
I've been in this dump for a month and I can't stand it anymore.
Throwing a throw pillow.
Understand.
All right, I'll spell it out for you, Fats. I'm bored. Bored. I mean, there's no excitement around here. No kicks.
Yeah, but the gambling, I thought you enjoyed that.
I do. But when you win every time, that ain't gambling, that's charity.
Well, I could arrange for you to lose occasionally if you'd like. Would that help?
It might. No, it's no good. It ain't the same. I would know.
Perhaps you miss your old vocation, is that it?
Now you're getting it.
Well, there's a nice bank at the corner that you could rob, or would you prefer a jewelry store?
No, bank's okay.
Well, fine.
Taking out his notepad.
Now, as to the getaway car, well, we have quite a large variety to choose from. Something inconspicuous, I imagine.
Wait a minute. Is there a chance that I could get caught?
Well, of course, if that's what you'd like. Let me just make a note of it.
Come on, sit down, Fat. Sit down.
They sit on the carpet.
Now, look. I don't know how to explain this, but it just ain't the same thing. I mean, what's the kick knocking off a bank if everybody knows about it? Huh? And the dames, I...
Getting up?
I never thought I would get bored with beautiful dames, but... Look.
Kneeling.
I wouldn't expect an angel to understand this, see, but being a big guy with a chick, it don't mean anything if it's all set up in advance. And I mean, everything is great here, you see, really great. It's just the way I always imagine it, except that... Well, just between you and me, Fats, I don't think I belong here. I don't think I fit in.
Oh, nonsense. Of course you do.
No, I mean it. It's just somebody must have goofed. If I gotta stay here another day, I'm gonna go nuts. Look, I don't belong in heaven, see? I wanna go to the other place.
Getting up.
Heaven?
Following him.
Whatever gave you the idea you were in heaven, Mr. Valentine? This is the other place.
Rocky glares at him. Rocky tries to open the door, but it is locked.
A scared, angry little man who never got a break. Now he has everything he's ever wanted, and he's going to have to live with it for eternity in the Twilight Zone.
Credits. Directed by John Brom. Written by Charles Beaumont. Produced by Buck Houghton. Executive producer for Cayuga Productions, Rod Serling. Starring Larry Blyden and Sebastian Cabot. Director of Photography, George T. Clemens. Production Manager, Ralph W. Nelson. Art Directors, George W. Davis, Merrill Pye. Assistant Director, Don Kloon. Film Editor, Joseph Gluck. Set Decorations, Henry Grace, Keo Gleason. Sound, Frank Milton, Philip Mitchell. Animated title by UPA. Copyright 1959 by Cayuga Productions, Inc. Filmed at Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer Studios. Audio description by Lou Lasher.